Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to begin with verse 1 this morning, and I want to bring this to you as God has been giving it to me, and the title of this series, it'll probably be a short series, but it's called Lift. Verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 2, and he made alive. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked. I want you to see verse 1 really quickly, that there's a contrast between the non-believer and the believer. The non-believer is dead in their trespasses and sins. And they walked in those. In other words, they acted on those. That was their lifestyle. But the Apostle Paul here encourages us, admonishes us, and he says in verse 2, in which you once walked. That means you don't walk like that anymore. Hello? You don't walk that way anymore. You don't walk dead in your trespasses and sins. You don't walk that way. In other words, you don't walk the way the world walks. You shouldn't talk the way the world talks. Hello. I shouldn't have to remind believers this, but actually I do. Because we need reminding, because we're human beings, right? We forget these things. We forget that we're not supposed to look like the world. We're not supposed to talk like the world. We're not supposed to react to everything like the world reacts. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Because our focus is a different focus, right? It's a different focus. Verse 2, it says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So guess what? He's drawing a very, very strong comparison between the non-believer and how they walk, how they live, how they react, how they flow. To use it in a modern vernacular, how they vibe with each other, right? He's making a very, very, very stark parallel that the believer is not walking that way. The believer is walking in a different way. Now notice what it says, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, in whom also we all once, say once, that's past tense, right?
Yes.
Once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh. Right? Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We were, again, what is that? Past tense?
Yes.
Right? We were, by nature, children of wrath, just as the others. Do you hear that title? Children of wrath? Have you noticed how much anger is in the world right now? And it's not one group or another. There's so much anger out there. And even sometimes believers get caught up in it. I'm going to tell you right now, we shouldn't have that as our first thing that you notice about us. Because again, the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, right? Doing what the flesh wants you to do, and the mind. And we're children of wrath, just as the others. But thanks be to God. Here's the good news today. I'm trying to show you that verses 1 through 3, St. Paul says to us, listen, there is a big contrast with how you should be living. He's reminding us that's how we used to be. He's reminding us that's what we were like. We were children of wrath. We went after the lusts of the flesh. If it feels good, do it. If I thought of it, let's do it. If I feel like it, let's do it. Well, that's just the way I feel. But God tells us a different way to live, and we're going to get to that. Lift. When I think of the word lift, it means to raise to a higher position or level. To raise to a higher position or level. To take aloft, something aloft. In other words, to raise something up, right? Now, and Brother Colin reminded me of this morning. If you're from another country that is influenced by perhaps the UK, when you think of, whether it be India or England, you think of lift as an elevator. How many in here, that's what you thought of, right? You think of a lift, right? We don't call elevators in the States, we don't call them lifts, we call them elevators. But that's what does it do? It takes you up to a different level, to a different position. To a different position. Now here's the key. This is the key verse in this series right now. But God. Say but God.
But God.
Woo. You know, right there's a lot in those two little words.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But God. What is he doing? He's drawing a very big contrast between the verses 1 through 3, and he's saying, but God, who's rich in mercy, guess what? Mercy is being treated better than you deserve.
Yeah,
right? It's being treated better than you deserve. That's mercy. When somebody throws themselves on the mercy of the court, what are they doing? They're saying, treat me better than I deserve. When you throw yourself on the mercy of God, you're saying, Lord, please treat me better than I deserve. But aren't you glad we don't have to beg? Because he gives it to us. Because why? He's wealthy when it comes to mercy. He's got more than enough. And it says he's rich in mercy. Because why? Then it gives us the why. Because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses. He goes back to that verse about walking in that deadness of life. How many in here could remember, and we're not looking for a testimony this morning, although a testimony is important. How many can remember what you were like before you met Christ? Anybody? Anybody remember what that was like? What kind of darkness and turmoil filled your mind at times? I mean, some people are like, no, I didn't have too much of that. Some people are like, man, I'm glad that they don't have LCD readouts on your forehead, because that's not good, right? But look at what God did. But God, who is rich in mercy, he treated us better than we deserve because of his love. Even when we were dead in our trespasses. And it says here, he made us alive together with Christ. For by grace, you have been saved. That word grace is God's power. And I always like to put it this way. It's his passion, his ability to do inside of you what you can't do yourself. Because this is not about, I can be good enough. He's reminding people, your old nature was your old nature. Your new nature is a different nature. It is a lift that comes to our life that puts us in a different position. And then he tells us what that position is. It says, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm just going to borrow a chair here. We get to sit in heavenly places. When you sit, what are you doing? You're taking a rest, aren't you? You're at ease. But the picture is not a comfy, overstuffed chair. The picture is a position of royalty. No other faith, if you call false religions faith, no other faith that ever came before Christ ever gives you an opportunity to come up to the divine nature, to come up and partake. The Bible tells us that if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, if any man be in Christ, the old has gone, the new has come, right? God calls us the righteousness of God in Christ. This is amazing mercy. This is not, I'm going to make you pay for your sins and all the foibles and all the faults that you've ever done wrong. This is not that. This is, I'm going to take you from here and I'm going to lift you to a new position. God is lifting you into the throne room, into a new position to be seated with Christ Jesus. And I love this, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace you've been saved. You've been saved by grace. That's his power. Nobody could do what he did. Nobody. So we've been taken to a higher position. We've been raised up. We've been lifted into a different position. We're now in a different position. We're in a different position. It is a position that places us right there with access to the divine nature. Now that may sound really ethereal. Now let's put it in practical terms. You wake up tomorrow morning. You don't feel like you're sitting in heavenly places with Jesus. Stuff's going on. Things are going wrong. Right? Have you ever woken up and you just say, I just don't feel like this day is going very well at all. Anybody in here? And you're like, this doesn't feel good. You need to remind yourself that there spiritually is a truth that will pull and lift you up. I've been seated with Jesus in heavenly places. The problem is we're still on this planet. We're still here. But spiritually speaking, God is saying, but you're seated with him. So now this is going to change your perspective when a problem comes to your life. This is what I want you to get out of this series. That you're lifted into a different position. That position gives you an opportunity that when you pray, you are not praying from this position, you're praying from this position. That's going to be a whole lot different than hoping God's going to listen to me. No, Jesus is right there. You're in heavenly places with him. And I know that sometimes these concepts can be a little bit tricky. And when we try to make analogies, they break down. But here's what the Apostle Paul is saying. He's saying, we've been seated with him. That means the finished work of Christ is a work of rest. It is a work that says, I'm not saved by my good works, right? I'm not saved on how good Doug is. I'm saved because of his rich mercy, because of his love for me. I'm saved because of his grace, his power, his passion, his ability doing inside of me what I couldn't do. I couldn't be good enough. I couldn't make the mark. But in Christ, I am seated with him. Now, I'm going to show you this. Here we go. Little visual that I have. Where are we going here? Okay. I want you just to imagine this says your name. Imagine your name on this piece of paper. All right? Now remember, and let's just real quick turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. All right, just real quick, turn to that. I've already referred to it. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, I want you to imagine your name here. Okay? Your name is here. Colin, Valley, Marcia, Alex, Anita, Brenda, right? Christine, Miss Navi, right? Reverend Christine, Randy, your name is here. Nicholas, your name is here, right? You're now, this is your name. Imagine this. Now, if my Bible is Christ, I just put it in my Bible. I just put it in my Bible, didn't I? Okay? If you are in Christ, you're a new creation. But now I'm going to ask you a really interesting question. If I put my Bible way up here, where is Christ? Where is Christ? If that's representing him, where is he? He's up there, right? So the Bible tells us that he's seated in heavenly places. That's a place of authority, right? So I want you to imagine. Now let me ask you a question. The little envelope, the little piece of paper with your name, where is it? It's up there, isn't it? So where's Christ? Up there. Where is he? He's seated. Where? In heavenly places, right? That's where he is. It is a position. He lifts us in a position. That position is a position of royalty. That's a position of power. That is a position, that's a position of prayer. He prays for us. So when we're praying, our position in prayer, where is it? Right? Okay, are you guys connected with this? Just nod your head, say, I'm with you still, Pastor. You haven't lost me yet. Okay, what does that look like tomorrow morning? That's what I want to get you back with. What does that look like when you're grinding it out here on planet Earth? Because guess what? You still got to get in your car and go to work tomorrow, right? Everybody? You're like shaking. Now you're getting it, like that part. Okay. How does that work? That's where faith comes in. That's where we, by faith, realize, wait a second. We're not saved, verse 8, we're not saved through by what we do, right? But we're saved by grace. That's his power. His power is the thing that can put us up. His power gets us into that position, that lifted position. It's his power that puts us up there seated with him. We need to be reminded when we're down here where we are. That, yeah, part of me is still grinding it out on planet Earth. Part of me is still grinding it out with, you know, everyday stuff. I'm grinding it out down here. But listen, friends, brothers, sisters, we're from another world. What Christ does inside of us is supernatural. The same Jesus that rose from the dead is the same Jesus that brings us up and lifts us to that higher position. Why? So that, let's go back to Ephesians 2. Notice what it says, verse 7, that in the ages to come, he would show the exceeding riches of his grace. You can always take the grace, the word grace, and you can almost always swap it out with the word power. So that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding power of his, or the exceeding riches of his power in what? His kindness. His kindness toward us, right? Because again, his kindness was, he lifted us. He lifted us. Years ago, there was a song, and I'm sure some of you saints that have been walking with Christ for a long time know what this one's about. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help. Love lifted me. See, God's love lifts us into a different position. That position is a position of authority. That position is a position that gets us to a place in prayer. And this is what I want to get to in this series. That we understand our positional authority in Christ. We're still on planet Earth, but now there is like this positional authority that we're now with Him, seated with Him in heavenly places. What that does for your prayer life, this is what I want to kind of start to move over into. Now we're lifted in prayer. We get lifted up into a place of prayer. That place of prayer now is a place of prominence. It's a place of authority. It is a place of royalty. It is a place that Jesus invites you into, that place of prayer, that place of power. In fact, Watchman Nee, famous Chinese theologian, he said this. He said that most Christians, they need to learn to sit first. Then they need to walk the Christian life out. And then they need to stand against the enemy. What was he doing? He was talking about Christian maturity. That's what we're talking about here. We've been lifted to a different position. So now, when you're praying tomorrow morning, right? When you're praying, I want you just to remind yourself, I'm in Christ. Where is Christ? Christ is seated in heavenly places. So you remind yourself that you are with Him in heavenly places. You're with Him. Now, you're still on planet Earth. You're still grinding it out. You're still going to go to work, and you might have to run into a not-so-nice boss. You might have to run into a not-so-nice coworker. You might have to deal with an unkind student if you're going to school somewhere. But your position is in Christ, and it's kind of a mind-tilter, right? It's a mind-blower here. It's like, wait a second, but I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. That means there's a place of rest. When you're sitting, you take a load off. You take a load off, right? You're not striving. You're not working everything up. That's why He told us that we are not saved through ourselves. We're saved through His power by His grace. So this is a faith walk. So tomorrow morning you get up and you're preparing to go to work. You're preparing to go to school. You're preparing to go about your day. I want you just to get in your mind your name that is in Christ. If you have to, get a little envelope or something. Go turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. I'm giving you some practical things. Put your name in there. Let it stick out of your Bible a little bit. So that every time you look at your Bible, you remind yourself, wait a second, I'm in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. I am in a different place. I'm in a different position with God. I'm not looking to be like, you know, sometimes we Christians, and I say this, this is kind of like one of my things that for years I've said this. I feel like that Christians often, we're always the one looking for the touch. And what I want us to get by the end of this series is now we are the ones giving the touch. We're the ones who are actually giving what we now have. What we now have. We're in that position. Now we can start praying for people. Come on up here. Praying for people. You've got family members that don't know Christ. Come on up here. Let's get in that position. Let's get in that position. If you were going to play ball, go take your position. So what I'm trying to get us to do is change our attitude on where we're at. Instead of hoping my prayers make it to heaven, we know that our prayers are, now this is the mind blower again. Our prayers are already in heaven, seated with Him in a position of authority, in a position of power. It is a position of prayer that gives you the ability. Now turn with me to James chapter 5, and you'll see this. In James chapter 5, and if you went with us through that series of James on Facebook, then you'll know that you'll know where I'm going with this. All right, so verse 13 of James 5, it says, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. If you're praying, where are you right now? Besides being at 27 Radio Circle, where are you if you're praying? You're seated what? With him, right? Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. If any one of you sick, let him call the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Now underline this, highlight this. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. One translation says it this way, is powerful in its working. Why is it powerful? Why? Because you are in Christ. That's why your prayer is powerful. What this is going to do for your prayer life is it's going to give you a boldness and a confidence that when you're praying, you're not praying kind of a whiny prayer, are you? You're praying a prayer that has like, wow, I belong here. He's invited me to sit with him in heavenly places. That's a place of rest, but that's also a place of authority. Where is he sitting? At the right hand of God. Where is he? In his place as the Son of God. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he invites you to be a part. So that's going to put you in an effective place, and it's going to lift you in power. So not only are you lifted in position, now you're lifted in prayer, but you're going to be lifted in power. Why? You have access to everything he has access to. That's why the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The Amplified Bible says it this way, that the heartfelt, persistent prayer of a righteous man or believer is able to accomplish much. We're talking about lifting, right? But when put into action and made effective by God, it is dynamic and can have tremendous power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want you to see that tomorrow morning when you wake up, look yourself in the mirror, start getting ready for your day. I am seated with Christ. I have been lifted to a different position, but now I've been lifted to that place. When I pray, I'm not hoping to get to God. I actually have a confidence, which we're going to talk about next week, a confidence before God that I've never had before. I'll never forget as a young man, and I'm going to finish this up in just a moment, just getting ready to close here. As a young man, just getting a hold of some of these truths, realizing who I was in Christ. What it did was, sometimes I got a little overzealous. I did. I got a little overzealous. Got a little bit unwise at times. A little bit. And don't look at me in that tone of voice. You guys did it too, probably, right? But shouldn't we be more excited the longer that we serve God? Maybe we won't do some of the silly things that we did. But shouldn't we be more excited as each day goes by? Because we're serving him. We get to be with him. We get to be seated with him. We get to be in that place of position, that place of prayer, that place of power. I'm telling you, God is lifting you, and he wants to lift us as a church to a different position, to a different place of prayer, to a different place of power and effectiveness, because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. So as a young man, sometimes I get a little over, I just get a little, you know, just a little bit, and I used to go inside the bookstore and I used to turn all the occult books over and put tracts inside of them. I don't recommend you do that. Okay. My heart was right.
Amen.
But some of that boldness actually got me to places where I got to testify of God's goodness. I got to lay hands on other high school kids and see God heal them. I got to see laying hands as a teenager, laying hands on other teenagers saying, be filled with the Holy Spirit and watch my friends start speaking in other tongues. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a different position. I'm talking about a different way to pray. I'm talking about a different way to live in power before God. One of the trips that we took to Haiti, the Republic of Haiti, I took some young people down in one of this particular trip, and it seemed like everything was going wrong in the trip. I mean, it just seems like things were just kind of going wrong. Things were getting canceled, you know. And I have 20 people, 25 people I'm trying to get from place A to B in a third world country. Not fun. But God put us and opened up a door for us to speak at a public school. And we began to speak at the public school. And I talked about the power of God. And I remember it was hot. Oh, hot. 100% humidity. Hot. Did I say it's hot? It was hot. And all the children are listening. And there was an interpreter there. And as I shared the power of the Holy Spirit, none of these kids had ever heard of that. And I looked, I said, now who wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit? The whole school assembly started moving to the front. Now we're outside, thankfully, but they all moved to us. I'm like, so I looked at the interpreter, I said, they all want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Are they all Christians? He said, yeah, they're all Christians. They want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the power from God. And I'm one guy, I'm preaching with an interpreter. I didn't know what else to do. So I turned to the 20 teenagers I had with me and chaperones, and I looked at them and I said, just go pray for them right now. What else are you going to do? And I watched and We had a couple of teenage guys that were macho, you know. We had the macho kid crew. We had a couple of them. So one of them goes over but he didn't know what to do. And he just kind of put his hands on this kid and he prays in English. And he starts praying for this kid. And the power of God hit through the American teenager who had never done this before. And the young person started speaking in tongues. Before we knew it, almost everybody across the line started speaking in tongues and glorifying God. And the headmaster of the school started crying. He said, we've been praying for this. And I'll never forget, the teenager looked at his hands like, were those my hands? And he realized, no, they were his hands.
Amen.
Through. See, God's calling us to be jumper cables for a world. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for lifting us, giving us a different position, a different place in prayer, a different place in power. Father, I thank you that you are speaking to each one of us that knows you, that's known you for a long time. If you're watching online and you've known God for a long time, I want you just to stir up that truth in your heart and in your mind that you have been seated with him in heavenly places. So that when you pray tonight, tomorrow morning, or you're praying for your friends, Father, I pray that each one of those people, each one that is here or online right now, God, that they are reminded of that truth and that you are ministering great grace and power to them right now in Jesus' name. If you never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, I believe all of us in this place know the Lord. But if you've never received him and you're watching online, it's real simple. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. What does that mean? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, that he was raised from the dead for you? You receive that forgiveness and call him your Lord. That's how you get born again. If you're here and in person and you wanted to recommit your life to Christ, or you wanted to know Christ in that way, I want to be available to you and pray for you. And if you need help, you can message us online as well. Praise God. If you would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, as I was talking about, I'm going to talk about that more next week, that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's an amazing power from on high, power to do the works of Jesus. He's calling all of us to join in and be part of that. So I want to just encourage you. Next week, I'll be ministering along those lines, and be ready. And if you want that, you want somebody to pray for you individually, I'm going to be around after church. I'll be in the foyer. You can message us online. We want to pray for you. The Holy Spirit is working in this world. He is moving mightily. Despite what you see on the news, God is on the move. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Again, if you want to be saved, real simple. You believe in your heart. Jesus is the Son of God. Died for your sins. Accept that forgiveness and confess him as your Lord. Praise God. Let's just pray our verse right now. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forever. Psalm 121:7-8. God bless you.